if you would please, and let's look in the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Some listed as Solomon's Song or Song of Solomon. However you want to look at that. Something God's laid on my heart I want to share with you, and pray that God will touch our hearts together as we endeavor to do so. Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. While you're turning there, find your place. It is, again, I say, good to see everyone that's here. And joy to see Brother Bullet Ward be able to come. He's been sick and unable to get here much, but it's always good to see him when he gets to come. And I appreciate him. All right, let's stand to our feet, please, while I read. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse number 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphor, with spikenard and saffron, camphorus, cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, aloes, and all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the species thereof may flow, spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. Chapter 5, verse 1. I am come unto my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my mirth with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. We're going to stop reading there. Let's bow our heads and pray. Ask God to help us here this morning. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. And thank you, Lord, for all the singing of the songs. And now comes time for preaching. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege to open the Word of God. And then, Father, to read that Word and endeavor to bring the message that you've laid upon our hearts. And I pray today that the Holy Spirit would so illuminate our minds and loose our tongue. I ask you, God, to give me that divine unction from on high. Help me, God, to be led of the Spirit of God, to think right, to speak right, and to say that. Then I pray the Holy Ghost make it real to every heart of every person. You know every need of every life in this house. I pray for that one that's lost and without you, that the Holy Spirit bring real conviction and draw them. Then those who are saved may be drawn closer. And Father, I pray you meet every need of every life. Help us here today that we'll worship in spirit and in truth. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the victory in Jesus. Confess the devil defeated. And thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for your love and goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to bring a message today on this subject, the Lord's garden. The Lord's garden. I have preached from this scripture in previous days and talked much about the things that were growing in the garden and some symbolism in those and dealt with some of that, but that's not what I'm doing today. I'm dealing with the thought that the Lord's garden, what is the Lord's garden, where is it, what is it, and how are we with our gardening? Put it that way. I think that's going to be a big question today, and pray that God will help us with this. In introduction, let me look at verse number 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Look in verse 15. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, streams from Lebanon. Here he's talking about water. You can't have a garden if you don't have some water. And Jesus said, I am the water of life. Amen. He is the water of life. And I want you to notice back in verse 12. He said, in the garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Now we know the Song of Solomon is a love story. And the typology of it is the bridegroom is Jesus. And the bride is the church. And we are the bride. Every saved person makes up the bride. And so if you are saved, you make up the bride. And notice what it says in that verse 12. A garden enclosed. It's in an enclosure, fence around it, whatever, something's around it. Is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. I want to park here just for a minute because I can't help myself. But think about what we are as saved people. You remember the devil said about Job, said, Lord, you won't let me touch him because you got a hedge built about him. I'm glad that I'm a garden enclosed, and the devil can't do anything unless he gets God's permission about it. Amen. And can't even touch us or do anything to hurt us. I praise God and thank him for it. And then he talked about a fountain sealed and so forth, water sealed up. And fountain, I'm glad he is a living water. I have drank from that fountain. You remember the woman in chapter 4 of John's gospel? She went to get some water in a pot and got excited, left her pot and took a well home with her. Amen. She said, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I say thank God for every saved person, there is a well of water on the inside. We are sealed. I'm glad I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost. We're captivated, if you please. Not in the sense that it's against our will, but it's a good captivity that we're in Christ Jesus. And we're his, he's ours. And we're in that enclosure, and we're sealed there. And I want to serve notice today on the devil. I'm sealed unto the day of my redemption. When Christ Jesus comes and gives me a new body, I am sealed as good as delivered. And I say praise God and the Lamb forever. Saved, saved, saved. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? It's said in this verse that we are a garden. Now, a garden. And if you're not saved, you are not a garden. I got to think about that. If you're not saved, you're not a garden, what are you? And I concluded this, you're a mud hole. Isn't every saved person a mud hole? Nothing clean about it. If you're unsaved, you say, but preacher, I'm a pretty good person. I don't drink liquor or cuss. It doesn't make any difference. If you're not saved and you have reached the age of accountability, then you're filthy in the sight of the righteous God. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And so we don't have any. We're like that mud hole. But I'm glad, praise God, I'm not a mud hole anymore. I am a garden. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to show you this. Looking at it for a few moments now. And verses 13 through 14 gives us about the different things that are growing there. And that's all important. Don't have time going to all that. But notice as he talks about this in verse 12, it says, my spouse. Now, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, saying, my spouse. And then look in verse number 16. Said, awake, O earth, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Now, I'm going to throw this in right here, and I'm still in an introduction. I'm going to get to my message in a minute. But it doesn't mean it's where the north wind blows, cold air comes, and barren, and everything dries up. Or if the south wind's blowing softly and there's a warm breeze about it and things seem to be going pretty good, it doesn't make a difference how the wind's blowing. I preach a message sometimes on what kind of wind's blowing in your life. And there's different winds that blow, sometimes the south wind, sometimes the north wind. And sometimes it's like Paul was there in Acts when a tempestuous wind came and the ship wrecked. But God spared them. We don't know what kind of wind may blow. But I tell you, there ought to be something coming out of the garden, no matter what kind of winds are blowing, whether the north wind, south wind. There ought to be something good coming out of the garden. Amen. And there will be times, if you raise a garden, that there'll be weather don't seem to suit. There'll be times it don't seem to be right. There'll be times it don't seem to be doing so good. But I'm telling you right now, if you're a true gardener and you really know how to raise things, then you'll get through those times. And then there'll be some times the sun will shine and the right rain will come and things will grow. Amen. And it will produce something in that garden. That's what I'm driving toward. But I want you to notice something. It's not my garden. It's not your garden. It's his garden. He said, talking about that, he said, let my beloved come into his garden. That's what it says in verse number 16, right in the middle of that verse. Let my beloved come into his garden. Look in verse chapter 5, verse 1. I am. If you'll notice in your Bible, I am is capitalized, all of it. I could not help but think about back in Exodus when Moses talking to that burning bush, or God talking to him out of the burning bush. And Moses said, I want to know who you are. He said, I am that I am. He is the great I am. And here he is in chapter 5, verse 1, said, I am. I am come into my garden, my sister. He said, it's my garden. And she said, let him come into his garden. And so she agreed it was his, and he said, it's mine. I just believe it belongs to the Lord. Amen. In fact is, I believe that we, if we're saved, belong to the Lord. We are a purchased possession. What? No, you're not. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. Says you are bought with a price. And so we're his garden. And you say, preacher, I didn't know I was a garden. Well, that's what you are if you're saved. Now, what's coming out of the garden, I'm not sure what kind of gardener you are. But we'll get to that as we go and talk about it. So we concluded in introductions, his garden. We concluded as the picture of the church. Saved people make up the church. We concluded Christ is the bridegroom. We've concluded all of this. And so we come now and going to talk about the garden. And I want to deal with that this morning and pray that God would help us as we try to do so. A garden must be plowed. Preparation. I'm talking about preparation for a garden. If you're going to have a good garden, it has to be plowed. Sod has to be turned. Amen. And I thought about that. And if you ever turned any sod, you know what I'm talking about. You stick that plow in the earth deep and pick it up and turn that topsoil over. First time I ever tried to dig a hole down here in South Carolina, I tried to dig a hole in my yard. I was going to plant a tree. And I thought, where is the topsoil? This is clay dirt. And I hit it again, still more clay. And I went around where the whole lot of beer is all clay. And I finally decided I didn't dig a hole here like I dug a hole back home or down in Whiteville, North Carolina, because they got some topsoil down there. They got black soil. And we got some up in Virginia. But down here, it's a whole different ball game. But if you're going to raise anything, you're still going to have to turn it. And may have to sink the plow a little deeper and get it turned over and chopped up. Then you're going to have to add a lot of fertilizer, a lot of other stuff to it to get it to do anything, and throw the lime to it. Hey, man, this stuff down here needs something. But you know, when we was lost without God before we ever became a garden, God stuck a gospel plow down deep inside and started turning something over inside of me and showed me what I really was. And it'll turn up rocks and roots, and it'll turn up everything else down there in that soil, amen, and turn it upside down. And then you have to take and chop it up or disc it or do something to it and cut it up fine and work on it, keep working on it until you finally get it workable. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost did to me one day. He plowed my heart, plowed me up, and then started cutting on me. And I'd like Brother Billy Mack, I didn't like none of it. Amen. And I thought, my soul, what am I going to do? I'm glad when he got through with me. There was some good soil I could work with. Amen. You remember the parable of the sower that went forth to sow and said some fell on by the wayside is hard. And the birds came by and ate him and said that's like a devil stealing away the word. And Luke 8:11 says the seed is the word, by the way. And the word's being sown and said it's like the devil coming and stealing it. And some fell on stony ground and it sprung up real quick. You ever seen that happen? It looked like somebody make a profession. You think, my soul, they're going to set the woods on fire. A few weeks later, you can't find them with a hound dog. Amen. And that kind of thing happens, and they drop nothing to them. No root. They don't have any roots. They're not sunk in. A ground wasn't prepared. Rock wasn't got out of the way. And then some fell among the thorns. It wasn't cleaned up, wasn't ripe. And the thorns choked it out, and it died. But said some fell on good ground. I'm glad God did some plowing, some hiring, and some disking, and some tearing up my soul and my heart until it got to be some good soil that he could drop some seed in and it would produce. And I say hallelujah. I praise God for that. One of the prettiest sights I ever seen in my life was up in Pennsylvania. I was up there preaching a meeting. I stopped by the roadside. I saw a young man, I guess he's about 14 or 15 years old. He had four horses abreast, and he had a turn plow behind those horses. He was turning sod. Apparently they got some black soil too. He had that plow sunk in the ground. That sod was being turned over. I stood there and watched him a few minutes, and he waved at me, and I talked to him just for a minute or two, but he was busy turning sod. And that sod being turned over, you know why? Because they're going to work it up and get it good ground. They're going to plant some corn seed in it. And it's going to grow some good corn. And it's going to do something good. Hey, I'm glad God one day plowed my patch. I'm glad God got in my patch and plowed in mine. Hey, God may be plowing your patch this morning. If he is, you ought to thank God he's a plowing. Amen. Thank God he's a working on you. Thank God he's a speaking to you and dealing with your heart that you may come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You can say what you want to. You can look back on professions that was on the rock or by the wayside or thorns choked out. You can look back and say, well, I had all that. But if it wasn't in good soil, it didn't really produce anything, then you need a good dose of old time, Holy Ghost, heaven sent, conviction bring you salvation that you may be saved. I say hallelujah. I'm glad I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Hallelujah. Been passed from death unto life. And I'm glad for what God did in preparation of the soil and getting it all ready. And I say hallelujah. It was good seed planted in it. That was the word of God. I'm glad being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How you know you're saved, preacher? Because this Bible says I am. Amen. If I'm not saved, God has to be a liar, and God is not a liar. Amen. He said, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you can't really believe without repenting. You can't really repent without believing. And when you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart and mean it with your heart, you will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad it's a no-so salvation. Amen. These things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And so the preparation has to be made. But now let's notice the progress of that. If you would please look in with me in the middle of verse number 16. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And then chapter 5, verse 1, I am come into my garden. And I was thinking about this. We're talking about a garden, but newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word. That little baby Errol's holding, that baby needs milk. It doesn't need meat, needs milk, can't eat meat yet. And Paul said to those Corinthians one time, said you get babes in Christ. You haven't grown any, you need to grow up. And in the garden when we plant seed, we expect it to grow. And then when it grows, we expect it to produce something, amen? I'll be surprised. He went into his garden, and anybody that ever raised a garden has from time to time gone out and looked at that garden and seen what it looked like. And I got to thinking about that. Christ come into my garden this morning and looking around him. I know he lives within and lives within that heart. But as we think about us being a garden and he looks, I wonder what he sees in our garden. What kind of garden do we have? What kind of garden are we cultivating? What kind of a garden are we producing? What are we raising in our garden that we have? I thought about that, and if you ever tried to raise a garden, now I haven't for years. I gave it up in clay dirt. But I used to raise one sometime up in Virginia. But I remember one year I went over to the Boyer's farm. A couple was in the church, and they had a farm. They told me I got to have a place over there and put a garden down. I went over there and I was going to put me a garden down. And I got busy preaching revival meetings. I was gone several weeks, and I'd be in on Sunday and preach and go and preach. And I got real busy, and I let that thing go. After a while, I went in there and looked, And I couldn't find much that was growing. And I wanted to grow, but I found a whole lot of weeds, a whole lot of junk growing in there. Have you ever noticed weeds will grow anywhere? I mean, they'll grow in a crack of a concrete somewhere. They'll come up anywhere. And weeds will grow, and they'll come up. And I thought about those weeds in our lives. And if you don't weed your garden, and you have to hoe it, and you have to maybe plow it or whatever you're going to do with it, but you got to get the weeds out. Sometimes you have to get on your hands and knees and pull them out. And we need to spend some time on our hands and knees, amen, before God in prayer, else our garden's going to get very weedy. They're going to be weeds sap out the nutrition and take away from the plant producing what it ought to produce. And you and I have some weeds growing in our garden. We need to get them out. Amen. And don't you know that soil probably said, oh, that hurts when you pull that weed out. And that weed don't want to leave out. It wants to hang on. And if you happen to break it off and don't get the root, it'll come right back. You ever had things in your life you tried to confess and get rid of, and the first thing you know, it's right back again? What happened to it was we didn't get the root of it. We deal sometimes with the outward appearance and forget the inside. If you don't get the inside right, the outside not going to make a whole lot of difference. Amen. Outside ought to look right, smell right, be right. That's not what. Inside's got to be right. Amen. If outside ever going to produce anything, that soil's going to have to be right when the seed's planted. But after it's planted and begins to come up, that's not the end of the story. If God wanted to save me just to take me to heaven, he'd have knocked me in the head when he saved me. But he wanted to produce something in my life, and he's looking for it. And there's some weeds growing up I need to deal with. You got any weeds in your garden? You got anything coming up in your life and ought not to be there? And have some things coming up. And then there's animals come in the garden. You ever have an animal get in your garden and dig up something? Rabbits come and eat part of it. And I love animals too, but I don't like them in my garden, amen. Or your neighbor's dog, it gets worse when your neighbor's dog comes over and digs around. Or a cat or something like that. The devil's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's out to destroy and mess up your garden. He wants to dig up what you got planted. He don't want to see any good fruit come out of your life. He don't want to have any sweet smelling spices coming out of your life. He don't want you having a good attitude. He wants you to be a gossiper. He wants you to run everybody else down, find every fault you can with everybody, and live your life a grump. And no sweet spices coming out. My wife and I was talking the other day. We were talking about growing older. And I said I didn't want to grow old as a grump. She told me I had to improve. Of course, she tells me a lot of things. I'm trying. Hey, remember, our lives, there's a certain thing about our lives come out. Certain attitudes come out. Certain thoughts come out. Certain things come out of our lives. And he's looking for those good things to come out of our lives. And they need to come out. They must be out or else they don't work. And you have to prune sometimes. You raise tomatoes. If you don't cut off the suckers off of those things, it'll take a nutrition out and it won't produce good tomatoes. Amen. I said suckers. I don't want you to call them on tomatoes. As the sprouts come out, they're no good. They don't produce any tomatoes. Where I come from, we raise some tobacco and we suckered that stuff. Now, suckers have come up. I believe one of the sickest days I ever had in my life. Well, one of the second sickest day. Sickest day I ever had was in the back of a school bus trying to chew tobacco. Then trying to get rid of it before I got home so Mama wouldn't know it. I was green when I got home. My mama says, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm sick. I never did tell the rest of the story. But anyway, I wasn't like Paul Harvey. I wasn't going to tell the rest of the story. Let that ride. Amen. I had enough trouble just being sick. That taught me a lesson. But anyway, we'd have to pull off the suckers. And if you have a tree and you want that tree to be shaped right, you have to trim off some limbs and you have to cut on those. And that doesn't always feel good. When you get cut on, God's a working on you, amen, and pruning you up and chastening you and getting you where he can use you and deal with you. And it doesn't always feel so good. And And Brother Billy mentioned about me having to go through Whiteville so I can come to Gateway here in Spartanburg County. But he's right, probably. I did. And God taught me a whole lot. I went through some times that I didn't know what was going on. Then I thought my world come to an end. But I want you to know God had it all under control. Well, he was doing pruning some, pulling up some weeds, getting rid of some things, and working on my life and showing me that he was in control, not me. And I say praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. God's good all the time, even when he's a hoeing in your garden, even when he's a pulling weeds out, when he's getting in there and rooting out some things you just soon he'd leave alone. I remember carrying rocks out of a garden or out of a field and getting the rocks out because he's in the way. Things couldn't grow good with rocks around. And we get those old hard rocks in our lives and need to get them out, amen. We get those hateful attitudes and things we've held for years and we need to throw them out and get right, amen. And then it's easy to blame everybody else for everything. Boy, we're living in a generation that everything that happens, somebody else's fault. Amen. I am like I am, they say, and because somebody else is like they are, and it affected me. I want to have a good effect on people, but I don't want you to know people have a choice to make. I can preach to them, but they have a choice whether they're going to receive it or not. I can live a life before them, but it's up to them whether they want to emulate that life or not. It's up to you whether you want to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus. And I'm not, amen. It's a blessed day when I learned I was not responsible for the results. I was just responsible to carry the mail, amen, and live the life and bring it to people and do what God said to do. I say hallelujah. I'm glad God does increase. Amen. He does give increase. I'm glad he increases along the way. Well, I got to get off of this. I realize that, but I'm thinking about what's in our garden we need to get out. And so whatever it is in yours, and you say, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good except for. Whatever that except for is, you need to deal with. I'm doing pretty good, but I have this weakness. Whatever that weakness is, you need to ask God to help you with. Amen. And how are you doing anyhow? How's your faithfulness? How's your giving? How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer? How's your witnessing? How you doing today? And what have you allowed into your garden? And what kind of weeds are growing there? Sometimes thistles grow there and they hurt. Try to put them up barehanded. And sometimes there's things in your life that you just have to deal with, you don't want to deal with, and you're not in the mood to deal with, but you have to deal with anyway. And so if we're going to have a good garden like, I'm going to get that good garden in a minute. But right now, the preparation got to be right. Preparation not right, you'll never have a garden anyhow. And then once you get in the garden, you got to have some progress in it. It's going to have to be taken care of so it can produce. But then I want you to look at it, the product and the purpose of it. Look at this with me. And as we look at it, fruit, he went in his garden, he said, and eat his pleasant fruits in verse 16. Talked about gathering myrrh and spice, good smelling, good tasting, and eating honeycomb honey and all that. It's good to get in a good garden and getting a good fresh tomato, getting out some good vegetables out of your garden, or getting a peach off of a tree, or whatever it is you got growing out there. It's good. If it's right, amen, things are kept right. But there's two senses about fruit used in the New Testament. There's a sense of that fruit of the Spirit. Now, Galatians 5:22-23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. God produces that fruit in us. If you're really saved, God produces that fruit. And that's not us, that's him. I'm glad God produces some fruit in us. I'm thankful for that fruit. But then there's other fruit that we have a part in producing. And you say, preacher, can we do it? We can't do anything without him. We got to be connected to the vine. We got to have his strength and his power. But I want you to know he expects us to be the witness that we need to be so there can be some fruit produced in our lives. A good garden, if he has a garden, he don't give the rain, God gives the rain. He don't make a soil, God made the soil. He don't make a whatever it is grow and produce, God does that. But he did the planting, he does the hoeing, and he has to work it, he has to pick the fruit. And Jesus said the fruit's ripe unto harvest, about to perish, and we need to go get it, amen. And God help us get the fruit in before it perishes and get it before it goes to waste. And so, but he's looking in his garden. Now come in his garden. Soil's been prepared. The stuff's been planted. It's been weeded. It's been plowed. It's been pulled up. Been worked on. But now he said, I'm looking for that fruit. I'm looking for fruit. I've never seen any fruit in my life and in your life. Has he seen anything in your life lately? Has he seen anybody you led to Christ lately? When I say you led to Christ, I like what Brother Gary Tenjan said the other day. Stuck with me. He said, really, when we witness to Jesus Christ, to anybody, we have led them to Christ. It's like leading a horse to water. Whether they drink or not is up to the horse. But you can lead it to the water. But have you led anybody to Christ lately? And whether they drunk or didn't drink, have you got them? Have you presented Jesus to them? Have you really been a witness for Christ? Have you really invited folk to church? Have you really had a heart for people? Have you really been concerned about Vacation Bible School coming up? Have you really been concerned about what the church is doing? What we're reaching for Christ? How many's coming in? Have you really been concerned about that? I wonder if Jesus found any of that in our gardens. I wonder if he looks at our garden today. Is he seeing any results out of the effort put into it? Fruit coming from it? Has he seen anything that he could say, that's good fruit? I'm glad for that fruit. Has he seen anything that said, that's a sweet smell? Oh, a sweet odor coming from that garden. I say, praise God and the Lamb forever. I believe God looks down, and when he sees us endeavoring to get the weeds out, endeavoring to help the plants grow, I believe he's looking at our life saying, I'm smelling something sweet. I'm smelling something good. I got something coming out of that garden that's blessing my heart. Or then there may be some roses blooming and saying, oh, how pretty they are. Ever seen a garden had roses in it or had other flowers blooming? How pretty they are. How good they looked. He's saying, I'm seeing something looking good. Then he picked some fruit and said, this is a producing plant. It's got some fruit on it. I praise God for it. Hey, listen, God's looking for that kind. He wants to see that kind. And I'm saying to you today, the garden of our lives ought to be a delight to us. Ought to be a delight to us to see us, to see ourselves grow, to see ourselves mature, to see ourselves get stronger in the things of God, to be a better witness, have a greater burden for souls, to share and see others saved, to produce fruit, to have a good attitude. When others are down, the north winds are blowing hard, and we can help them that they might soon feel that south wind blow softly. And we might be what God wants us to be in helping others and getting others to Christ, whatever it is. We need to, that's a delight. I told Faith, and Sister Faith, I hope y'all don't mind me using y'all today. You're here, so I might as well use you. Amen. And she was talking about us being in white when she's just a little old kid. And we're talking about how old she is now, and I'm going to tell you how old she is. She's still a young'un. No, she's a little older than she looks even, I guess. I don't know how old she is. I know she's old enough, been through high school and college and teaching school. That's all I know. But she remembers when I was there, and her sister and her brother, and those young'uns mean a whole lot to me. Our family means a whole lot to me. But God let me pass through and let our gardens grow together. I remember one time Billy Mack had a patch of butter beans. That fella got drunk one night and went out and plowed every one of them up. We've laughed more about his butter beans. And that's exactly what the devil would like to do to all of us, and plow all of our butter beans up. Devil would like to catch us napping. And while we're napping, he'd like to get out there and plow up our fruit. Billy didn't get any butter beans out of that patch that year because it got plowed up. Amen. But that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to wreck your life, tear it up, and take all the fruit out of it. But it's a delight. But you know what else is a delight? Not only for us to see it and eat from it, but to share it. Somebody else comes by and says, man, that's beautiful flowers. Although that's good fruit. You pick some fruit and you take it and give it to somebody. Somebody brought me some strawberries that day. Just a hint. Amen. But anyway, I bought some too. But anyway, strawberries, they're good. Amen. I praise God for strawberries. They make your tongue slap your brain.
if you got a good hot biscuit with it, buttered. Amen. On breakfast morning, amen. It'll do good. All that stuff's good. I say hallelujah for it. Amen. But you share that with somebody else and they get blessed. Get a delight. Is your life being a blessing to somebody else? They look at your life and say, that's a delightful life. I'd like to have that kind of life. Amen. It can generate and create a desire for somebody else to. You ever seen somebody have a garden? Say, you know, I believe I'll plant me a garden. I'd like to have a garden like that. I'd like to have, that's what our lives ought to do. It ought to challenge folk that they want to have a life like our life so they can enjoy what we enjoy. Amen. I read a story years ago about a man, and he was, I don't remember, some kind in England, some kind of a big high official. Anyway, they, in that olden days, they had tea every afternoon, and may still do, I don't know, but the time this was written or writing about it was. And they said when they had tea every afternoon, he had a flower garden out there, a rose garden. And said after tea, he would take people that came, and I believe he was a dean of a college, and he would take them out to see his flowers, see his roses, and show them how pretty and what a sweet fragrance it was. And said he'd take them out there. Every visitor came by, had tea, he'd take them out there when they got through. One day this woman came in and said she was so graceful, had so much of God on her, and was such a precious lady and so sweet. He said this to her. He said, will you come out to my rose garden? I want my roses to see you. I said, hallelujah. I'd like to have a life so somebody else would say, I'd like to have a life like that life. I'd like to have such a fragrance from that life that has blessed others and helped others. And somebody'd say, preacher, I'd like to have a life like that life. I'd like to have a life that others can get some fruit out of and say, praise God, that's good. I'd like to produce something like that. Hey, what kind of garden have we got? Is it weed-eaten? Is it all tore up? Is it messed up and not getting much out of it and not sweet smell coming out, just trudging along, trying to get by? Or is it one vibrant, producing, and got a sweet smell? I pray God will help us be the right kind of a garden. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to preach the Word of God. Today, Father, as we look in our lives, we see ourselves. We recognize, Lord, that our garden needs worked on. And I join myself, God, with all of us here today, that we need to pay more attention to our garden of our lives, that they may produce the right kind of fruit and have the right smell. I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Spirit would deal with every heart and every life. Lord, help all of us see ourselves like we really are. See our garden like it is. And Father, will you show us where the weeds are and show us where the rocks are that need to be thrown away and where it needs to be pruned. Father, help us be willing to let you help us, God, in that, that our garden may be the right kind of a garden. I pray in Jesus' name for that person may be here. Their life is in that mud hole. They realize they need to get saved. I pray today they come to Jesus and be born in the family of God. Have your way, magnify yourself, and get glory. Thank you for what you do. Right now, Lord, I realize that all that we've said, vain and void, unless the Holy Spirit of God makes it alive in hearts. God, speak to hearts today. Help us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves and with you. We'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Won't you stand to your feet, please?